I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
My own destiny. Well, you have a destiny, Barbara.
We all have a destiny.
Well, that's
Hello.
True. Hi.
Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio on this Monday, July the 2nd in 2012. I have another huge grin on my face, really wide, because I've done it. We've moved house all weekend long, and now I'm sitting on my terrace looking into this beautiful garden surrounded by huge tree people. And I'm online, I'm live, we're doing a show. I'm going to put my status on Do Not Disturb now so that the messages are without sound. And hi, Jen, how are you? She's not there. Jen!
I was putting myself on Do Not Disturb, and I was on another screen.
Okay.
Hi, I'm fine. How are you doing? How did the move go?
It went as smooth as it could. We had beautiful helpers back at the other place, which I don't call home anymore, and I don't call the new place home yet, so I'm somewhere in between. In the old place, we had friends of Derek's from the fire brigade helping us. My husband's called Derek also, just as well that we have a guest today who's called Derek. And we had 8 people all together, and it was a bit of surprise moving stuff because the truck had to go twice, which wasn't really planned. So they put stuff in the truck. The truck was full. The house was still full also. So they had to drive the truck down to the new place in the evening, come back in the middle of the night, and the next morning at 5 o'clock, we continued to move. And then we were here around noon, and then we had beautiful helpers here also. And then we had to unload the truck really quick because it had to go back to the rental station. And that was very successful. It was a sunny day, no rain. All the furniture was dry. And it was all stacked outside the house because the house was full. Because this is the house we're in now is half the size of the other house. But we have the same amount of furniture. So it's quite interesting. But my husband is very good at playing what I call furniture Tetris. He's just moving boxes around and putting furniture left, right, and center. And then we're finding our way through, so everything went really well. I am very grateful for all the help that we had. And it started raining last night. All of a sudden, it became really, the storm came up, and the trees were moving really. And I was like, oh, look, there's a storm coming. 10 minutes later, it was over. We were even more grateful that we had everything in the house with no rain and all the furniture was dry.
So you said you were having thunderstorms.
Yes. I just walked past a newspaper shop today, and there was a newspaper, and the headline was we had over 150,000 pieces of lightning. Wow. Going down. Or something. We didn't get that much here, but the whole of Germany was, I think, battered with thunder and lightning over the past few days. And we were just, I don't know, very protected from all that. And I'm even more grateful for that. So, everything's very smooth. As I said, I'm looking into this beautiful garden now, and everything's good. haven't been online much, but that's okay, I guess, with the circumstances. Yeah. So, Jen, you've been very, very busy.
It feels like I've been busy. Yeah, I got the Soul Body Blueprint thing website pretty much up, and I did some readings on some celebrities so that people could get an idea of what that is, what those readings are all about. They were absolutely fascinating, and it's so amazing to see symbols in people's faces, in their hair, in their face, wherever it is. To see those symbols, it's pretty incredible. So that was kind of fun. And then I came down to Southern Oregon to visit a friend. So I am now in Southern Oregon, where it's overcast and kind of cloudy. And so we'll just see what happens.
same weather here.
Yeah.
And
I'm
now located in Hamburg, Germany. And a big city. And the traffic died down 2 minutes ago, just when we came online, really. So hopefully the listeners only hear the birds chirping in the garden. And we have a beautiful guest today. We have Derek Reed with us from Scotland. So we've got three different locations once again. And we're gonna talk about lots of things. And one thing that came up when we started preparing for this show and putting energy into this show was the topic of natural knowing, which I'm really keen on learning from Derek what is his understanding of natural knowing. And the expression Trinity came into the conversation, which leads back to last week's show that we had with the True Trinity, with Cindy, Rachel, and Jillian. And they are the True Trinity, and they are the ladies that have created our beautiful theme song. And yes, the songs that were played last week are both purchasable, really. So you can go to their website and check out if you like the song, and if you haven't bought it yet, you can go and buy it there on the show, on the website.
On the True Trinity, right, truetrinity.com.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, what else? Well, I mean, many power animals, spirit guides coming my way lately. Last week, just before we moved, my cat decided he wanted to catch a bird for a change. It was pretty natural, but he doesn't do it normally. And he caught a house martin. And we saved the house martin, and my husband had it in his hand, gave the bird some Reiki, and the bird calmed down so much. So we were all able to say hello really gently and, you know, just chat with the bird a little. And then we set it free again. And when we drove to Hamburg with the moving truck, all of a sudden when we came to the border of the county to go into Hamburg, there was a heron that came up right next to the truck. And I was just amazed, like, wow, you know, that's so unusual to see that right next to the motorway, that a heron comes up right next to the truck that was driven by my husband. So I was pretty much in awe.
Barbara, hold on just a second. Derek, we need to get you to mute your mic, please. You've our voices are coming in through your headphone, your speakers, and echoing back through your mic. So you can either put headphones on, but it's better if you just mute the mic.
Okay, and this is something pretty new to me. So what I need to find out, if I can correlate it with you, ladies, how do I do that?
Okay.
Hello, Derek.
Hi there. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Derek.
Hi.
Okay, if you look on your Skype screen, the one where you see the pictures, you see Barbara and my picture, and down below that, either below it or on the side, there are going to be some symbols, and one of them looks like a microphone.
I'll have you. Hold it. Right.
If you click on that, it will put a red line through it, and that mutes your mic.
I think he's been successful.
I think he did it.
So now there you have it. That was Derek. He's with us already, and we're going to pull him into the show shortly. So, what else is there? Do you want to talk about Soul Body Blueprint a little bit more, about your course, your upcoming course, Jen?
I do. I'm really excited about it. It turns out that the date has changed. We're going to move it from July. It's going to happen in August. And I will know later today whether it's going to be the first week in August or the second week in August. And because there are fewer people, we can compact the course a little bit. So it's going to be a 3-day course instead of a 5-day course. It'll still cover all of the 38 hours and get everything in there for the certification, but it will just be a little bit shorter time. The reason it has to be longer time is when you get more people, you get more activity going on. This is strictly a live course because it's really important for people to be face-to-face, to be able to look at each other's bodies and to see what is going on with them and not just do it. I mean, you can do it from a distance online, but it's not nearly as impactful and as powerful. So these initial courses are all going to be live courses. And this first one, the people who graduate from this course and are the first certified people are really going to have a head start, because I'm the only one in the world who teaches this technique. So when they start learning it, they're going to be the only ones in the world who are doing this technique, which is really awesomely exciting. And then I'm looking at other places. We're talking about possibly Toronto. And then I would also love to come to Europe and do a course over there somewhere. So that's it. There's you can go to the website and still sign up. But I'd recommend that people email me from the website or connect with me on Facebook to find out the exact dates. And I'll know that later today. But it's going to be in August, one of the first 2 weeks of August.
I was just saying, how about coming to Europe and Germany?
I would love to. You know I would.
Yeah, I've walked down the road from the new place here last night, and I went past a coffee shop that also sells fresh ice cream, and I've heard it's very good ice cream, and they have this back room, and it looked very intriguing. I was like, how about doing some lectures there? Or I'll and then we can do stuff in my garden also once the weather is stable. Uh-huh. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't really have anything else at the moment about myself, because I'm still sorting out things, but that'll change very soon. I'm pretty sure of that. So I'd like to move straight into the cards.
I have one more thing to say, and then I agree with you. Let's move into the cards. And that is that my life at the moment with these courses is really very flexible. I've told everybody around me that my new home, my next home, is going to be a storage unit, because I'm going to be moving around and traveling. And that really is the case. So I want to invite all the listeners, everybody who hears this, whether today or in the recording, that I am available to go wherever you are and set up a course. You help me set up the course, and of course you get to come to it, but set up the course and teach it anywhere in the world, not just in the States, but in the world. So
ooh, that's good. I like that. I'll go with you.
Okay. All right. It's a deal. Yeah, two of us. We can both do it. Yeah. All right. So you want to go with your card first?
Yeah, yes, please. Because funny as it is, I have the same card deck as last week, because I had that really close. It was traveling with my drum while we were doing the move. So it's the Neil Donald Walsh cards, which came from the books Conversations with God. And once again, just the same as last week, the first one was a question. And funny enough, it was the same card that I drew last week. And it's the question of what would love do now? So I found that really interesting, and then I thought, okay, there's a reason for this. So I don't just dismiss these things. I take them seriously enough to really work with this card. So this is the first one that says, what would love do now? So maybe this resonates with some of the listeners. It doesn't have to necessarily resonate with everybody, and not now. As Jen just said, people can listen to the recording also, and maybe it resonates with somebody then. And I'm sure a few people are sitting there nodding and grinning with this already. And the other one that I drew is also from this card deck, and it says, everything that you see in your world is the result of your thoughts, which beautifully leads into talking to Derek in a few minutes here, because it's about awareness. It's about the things that we think. It's about knowing things. It's about the natural knowing that we might not be able to explain, and somehow we know, because we have created it in our thoughts. So that's it from me with the cards.
All right. That's beautiful. I love that. What would love do? That is so wonderful.
Mm.
Well, I ended up with two cards. It was kind of strange, because one of them popped up and I said, no, I already did that one. And then I realized I had done it for somebody else, and it really was totally appropriate for today. And then another card fell on the floor, and I went, oh, okay. So I have two cards. So the first card is this amazingly beautiful card called Jasmine, the Jasmine. And the Jasmine has it's a beautiful light white flower. Light meaning it's got four petals, and it's not heavy like a rose. It's very petite and simple, meaning light, and some green leaves behind it. And in front of it, there are two heavy blossoms. One looks like a rose. One looks like, I'm not sure if it's a peony or what it is, but it's got a big seed pod anyway. And both of those are at the end of their lives. They are falling apart. They're obviously well past blooming stage. And in addition, there's also this weed-looking thing that is kind of black and dead, that isn't, and all of these are in front of the jasmine. So what it says to me is that no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your, oh, it was for She-Wolf, okay, thank you. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your condition in life is, no matter what you are going through, and this is going to be very appropriate for when Derek talks today, no matter what your background, there is still life blossoming. And it isn't the the need to be the heavy, the I have to have fame, I have to have fortune. It is the pureness and the simpleness of this beautiful jasmine that is coming up through all of these other flowers that are either dead or dying, and the bramble that is in there as well. So it's that simplicity comes out of all of the obstruction and all of the heaviness that we have in our lives. The second card is called the Separation. This shows a woman dressed in kind of a dark gray with a red tie around her dress, and she's leaning her head to the side, kind of on a pillow or a cushion, and her hair is a little bit messy, her eyes are closed, and she's holding her hand, her right hand out to her back and to her side. A little bit is another version of her, alive, dressed all in a white robe with this incredible gleaming light behind her. And she's holding both of her hands around the right hand that the other woman is holding out. So it's kind of a picture of when your soul leaves your body, the separation of your soul leaving your body. And it's also the separation of letting go, that you always, oh, I didn't think of this, but here it comes. You always have a choice of staying with what you had before. You'll all know what. Yeah, well, Bev's probably put that affirmation in there anyway, but you always have a choice of staying with the dead and the dying part of yourself, staying with the old part that is no longer healthy, or walking away in spirit, walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. So those are the two cards for today. So
sorry for the giggles. It's just so funny.
It's all right.
Which this leads straight into Derek, so I'd love to pull Derek in straight away, because okay. This is in Derek's book also, Coma to Combat. So Derek, welcome to the show officially.
Hi Jan, hi Barbara.
Hi Derek, welcome. Derek.
Thanks very much for inviting me onto the show, and it's a pleasure.
Okay, so good to have you. You've been chatting away with some of our listeners in our Facebook group, Purpose Talk Radio Conversation. And it's been about your book. Your book is Coma to Combat, and it's coming out very soon. And we've been discussing a few of the highlights, and just now when Jen was doing the reading of this one card, the choice came back in, and we were thinking about an affirmation for today's show. And what we both kind of agreed on is, I have a choice always, because this is something that you do say in your book. And I think it's a vital part for understanding and for moving forward in life. What would you say to that, Derek?
Well, we all have a choice in life, regardless of where we are at, because what I came from was that I got myself into the situation through a series of choices, maybe not consciously aware that I was collecting all these choices to get to that place or state. But in hindsight, and with experience further down the line, and with certain courses that I had done, I then came to the conclusion through the teachings of those courses that I always had a choice. And therefore, everything that I had created in my life had then came full force back to me, and taking the accountability or the responsibility, which there is a difference between the two, but taking the accountability or the responsibility is also part of the deal and accepting that you do have a choice.
I love that. That's beautiful. And we didn't really ask you to start out with, or we didn't introduce you officially. there's one thing that...
That's because we're such good radio hosts.
No, it's just because we take so much for granted, really, which I'm not going to say sorry, but it's I'd like to properly introduce you, Derek. And one thing that you describe yourself as is a forgiveness teacher. Would you please go a little deeper into that for us and for our listeners?
Yeah, certainly. Being a forgiveness teacher, or, you know, the teacher of forgiveness, is something that only in the last 6 months that I decided was going to be very, you know, much part of my journey from here on in. And, you know, having the upbringing that I had, which was, you know, very, very blessed upbringing when I look at it now, really, really got me to deal with who I was today. So in order to, you know, first of all, forgive people around you, you first have to deal with yourself. It's always about yourself. And the difference is that once you get that underpinned, that it's nothing to do with anybody else but you, because you are the creator of your life. You create the chances, the choices. You deal with the, you know, I suppose you deal with the consequences, if you like to put it that way. But once you start to take ownership, and that's a real strong word for a lot of people in life, and it's floating out there in the stratosphere, is that word, taking ownership for your life. Once that starts to happen and you start to reflect inwardly, then, you know, forgiving yourself, first of all, then transpires outwards. And so it all starts from you.
Derek, you talked to us about your beginning, about the car accident, about drugs, suicidal thoughts, depression. Would you tell us a little bit about that, where you came from? Go back even further than that, if you want, where you came from and how you got turned around, how you got to the point where you are now.
Okay, well, you know, from the accident point of view, I was actually speaking to somebody last night, and I thought what turned out, which was supposed to be a conversation, which ended up like a coaching session. So I had to, in essence, watch what I was saying, because I don't like to interlink the two. But if we can get back to the point in which I was talking about last night, I think it's very apt for your point, Jan. It's very apt. In life, especially when you're living under the umbrella of your parents, they will tend to cloak you with their beliefs. The way that they act, you will subconsciously pick that up. And even down to the finite way that you make choices up until a certain point in your life, you will reflect your mother and father's beliefs and teachings within your own life. So when we talk about awareness, what happens in my belief is that we are given a card to deal with in life, which knocks us off the axis that we have been cloaked with our parents. It sends us tripping off to the left or to the right, but in a general different direction that makes us then have to deal with something that we don't have our parents' umbrella over us at that time. So if I can you know, talk about the car accident, first of all, because that was the major turning point. That was a major shift of my life that then began to spiral what I thought was out of control, which was in essence actually getting to a place where I was becoming the person who I was going to be in the future. So when the accident happened, I had no parents to deal with, although I was generally quite young at the time, 17 or 18. I was quite young. I still depended upon my parents to a very, very, I would say, adult age, and being 17 or 18, even when I was in the army. But when I had the accident, I could not then have their advice at that time. I could only deal with the knowledge of what I had in that situation, in that moment. And so what happens is, you know, you learn about how to think on the spot, break the cycle of the preparation of getting information from your mum and dad to deal with things, because my mum and dad didn't know how to deal with me in the accident, you know, coming down and seeing their son obviously hooked up to the hospital bed and you know, and obviously the fact that when I stopped breathing, they didn't know how to do it. So they too had then a massive change or a shift within them, because each new experience in life brings new reward. And remember, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, but it also makes us wiser. And that there has to be taken into consideration with everything that you do on your own throughout life, being a parent or not.
Yeah, I can relate to that now, being a parent myself. And I think it's, and from my own situation when I grew up, there were such certain situations where I had to deal with things. I had to look at the challenges and deal with the things myself. And it's not about, nowadays, it's not about putting a label on the past. Putting a, it's somebody's fault or whatever else. It's the choices I made. It's what did I do with the situation? How did I cope? Or how did I not cope with it? Which helped me learning and growing. And I'm a try and error person. So I've done lots of try and error so far. And the one thing that I didn't do, though, is what you didn't say. I think, I don't know if we mentioned it yet, is that you were in a coma, Derek. And I think that is a situation that is difficult and challenging for many people, family, blood family, friends, soul family, everybody, really. So, and then the coma you were in was something very interesting, because you were able to, you were conscious in a way, or aware, right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm quite aware just now. I can hear some lovely birds singing in the background. I don't know who that's coming from, but it's very nice.
Right,
my garden.
That's from Barbara, her garden.
My garden.
It's beautiful.
That is absolutely beautiful as well, you know, and that's what the awareness stage is. It's to, you know, it's just to go off slightly off what you're saying, Barbara, and come straight back in again. It's good to be aware. You know, we hear so much that's going on in the world today in our own spot and time that we only focus on what we think is important and what is more, you know, of a priority to us, and forgetting that we are part of a much bigger plan and picture. But yeah, talking about the coma, I was aware in the coma. In fact, if I could just take our listeners through just a slight part of the story. When the injury happened with me and obviously the you know, the emergency operation happened on my leg, they thought that they were going to lose the foot, so they had to do an emergency operation. However, during that emergency operation, they never knew that the blood and the fat cells from the broken bones were travelling and filling up my blood lungs during that operation. So when I came out of the operation, I was hyperventilating. And I remember the whole process very, very much so, because it's something that I think it has made the book, is the ability to be able to remember things for me. And all I do remember is my father and my mother walking in with my gran at their back. And I had such a pressure inside my lungs and my head that I really thought, you know, I couldn't last very much longer with it. But I couldn't communicate very well. Until I told my father that, you know, that heat and, you know, was, I just couldn't handle it for very much longer. And of course, all of a sudden, you know, I stopped breathing and things went, you know, dark. Now, I could feel the vibration of the trolley and I could hear the shouts of people pushing me down the corridor. And I just knew that I was in a place where I wasn't fully conscious, but I was having, you know, fleeting moments of consciousness. And then all of a sudden it went very, very quiet, very much like the impact of the car crash. It was like an exuberance quiet silence that came through, and I heard a voice in the side of my ear saying to me, "Derek, you need to let go." And so I didn't know whose voice this was. It just felt like it was very much, he was whispering it in my ear. And he says, Derek, you will have to let go. And of course, that conscious part of me came back in and dealt with what it was that I thought it was, meaning. And I then realised that I had such a tension in my jaw that I had clamped shut, that if I never released this, then obviously I would die. And so from somewhere, I just, in a subconscious level, perhaps I let go of the tension in my jaw. And then I heard the doctor's voice saying, good. And he put down all the tubes. And by that time, I was in the coma. But they put down all the tubes anyway and emptied my lungs out. And therefore, you know, that semi-consciousness hearing state was always with me every day of that coma. And so that I was interlinked with people, I could hear, you know, staff coming through, I could almost tell what time of the day it was, judging by the staff who were coming on different shift patterns. I could hear my brothers and my sisters weeping at the side of me, you know, asking me to come back, you know, and it is a very, very entombed experience. It's almost paralysis beyond anything that I've ever experienced in life. But the power of the listening is amplified to such a degree as where I can pick up people's emotions, because, you know, not many people tend to take their hearing, you know, as an integral part of their communication, but as the part in life that lets go last is your hearing. But for me, it was the thing that I gripped onto most, because it was my only communication with the outside world, if you understand that. If that made sense.
Makes sense.
So
to
did
me.
Did you get into the drugs and the depression after you came out of the coma, or and what brought you out of the coma first of all?
Well, you know, there are vital signs, and there are things that happen within, obviously, the you know, with the I suppose with the experience the staff have, you know, they could tell that, you know, I was coming out of it, you know, and that I felt, do you know, it was like a rebirth in a lot of ways, if I could put it that way. I could feel stronger at certain elements towards the latter part of the third week. I felt stronger. I could, you know, it was almost like I could do fingertip responses, you know, to my mother or to my brother or someone, you know. And I think they took that on board, and they started to deal with the vital signs and look at what it was. And then all of a sudden, you know, one moment in the morning, that they dealt with it, and they asked me to. It was quite weird, I've got to say. I remember now, as you're, you know, as you're prompting me, Jan, I remember now the doctor came over again and said, Derek, I need you to tip your head back. Now, that was weird because I hadn't even moved. So I don't know how I was going to deal with tipping my head back. He says, but push up, he says, and take a deep breath in for me. And it was like that command that ignited, obviously, my physical presence in my body too, because I hadn't had anything like that said to me. So I did my best, and he pulled out the, you know, the tube that supports your lungs and everything else, and very slowly opened my eyes to the world again. However, when I move on from this just quite quickly, I'm aware of the time, but, you know, what happened was I was in hospital for a month, still under, obviously, army contract, and I was sent home. And what I didn't tell the listenership here was that while I was in my coma, I never knew that I was in an RTA with another driver. I actually thought that I had crashed the car because there was a brilliant white light when I lost control. And it was a brilliant white light, and I found out through the coma that I had actually had a head-on collision in which the other person perished. So that was very, very impacting for me to deal with in that coma. I had nobody to speak to about it. I wasn't capable of it. So as a result, when I went home, still as a, you know, a caring person that I am today, I decided that I wanted to end my life, and I wrote a letter out to my mother. I, you know, took the paracetamol. I actually physically counted them out. There was no drink involved whatsoever. I never even hardly drank at that point in my life, to be honest. And I lay down on the bed to die. And my sister came in an hour and a half later. She woke me up, and I immediately told her what I did. you know, a cry for help or something, you know. I just wasn't ready to leave after my sister had woken me up. And she got me into the toilet where I was forced to be sick, and out came the poison that was just about to enter my system through the paracetamol. And that was dealt with not very well in my family, I have to say. But drugs and drink were an inaugural part of my life up and, you know, throughout the whole of the episode of dealing with, you know, getting through PTSD, you know, going into war within a year of the accident itself. So drugs and drink were almost like a company that I knew that what I was getting from them would, you know, soften the blow for when it became too much to deal with, you know?
Right.
Quite a story there. And there's so much in it. And I'm grateful that I was able to read the script of your book. Thank you, Derek, for that, because there's so many layers in this, and you've been just scratching the surface, because you were 17 or 18 when you had the accident. You fell into a coma. You had to deal with it yourself. Nobody was really able to support you or help you, because how do you deal with a situation like this? It just happens. And then you went back to the army, you went into war, you had your own life to deal with, and parallel was this experience of having been in a coma, having been able to listen and to realize things and to combine. And who did you talk to? How did you, you know, and then you turned it all around, and now you're with us, and you're a forgiveness teacher. You offer courses, you offer coaching, you've written a book, and you're really going viral and worldwide with all this. And we haven't even touched on the topic of natural knowing, and I'm just looking for the time here, and we have under 20 minutes left on the show, so this is another one which we could turn into a few episodes, really. So the title of your book is Coma to Combat, and when can the listeners expect to see the book? And I believe you have an offer for our listeners also.
Yes, thanks very much, Barbara. The book itself is in great progress just now. Anna Weber, who is my literary agent, is doing absolutely fantastic. Again, I've employed a very strong woman, and it seems to be that I'm surrounded by very strong women, so I'm taking that all I can. And, you know, the book, we think, would be great coming out about October time, which by coincidence is when my accident happened. It happened in October. There's no coincidence. We could talk about that all day long. I love that subject about non-coincidence. However, as I know that we're pushing on time, I think the book will come out in October, and I'm hoping it's going to have the impact that it has for people around the world.
And how about the offer? There is something, I think something was mentioned that you posted on Facebook also, or on your website, that the listeners can register with you, and there is a bit of a gift for them.
That's correct, yeah. Basically, on the website, www.derekreed.com, there is, on the top right, there is a Purpose Talk Radio button. It says PTR button. It's a tab. If they tap into that, then it'll take them to a welcome page where basically they put in their details, and the first 20 people will get a signed copy when it comes out and posted directly to them. There is also a free report. Anna has told me that I created. Now, it might be The Art of Listening, or it could be just a report from the book itself. If it's The Art of Listening, which I think it is, then that's a fantastic thing that I created from my experience in the coma. It takes us through, you know, what the power is that listening has. It's a much forgotten skill also. It's quite apt that if you look at the words silent and listen, they actually are the same letters. But so if people like to remember that, you know, and let that process through them. But that's the offer I have. The first 20 people who sign up When they hit the PTR tab button on the website, derekreed.com, we'll get a signed copy of the book. And as far as I'm aware, everybody will get a free report from me. Thanks for listening in anyway.
Derek, I'd like to read a paragraph from the highlight of your book, and then I'd like you to talk about it a little bit, if you would. You write, "I have looked in the mirror many times before, but this time I was looking at a person I wanted to get to know, not someone I wanted to forget. I knew there was more in me than I thought. The self-loathing had to stop, the depression had to go, and the low value I placed upon myself had to be looked at. It all began with me looking in the mirror and asking myself, how much do I truly want to change the picture on the inside? I was tired of the sadness inside, tired of putting a face on happiness on the outside, and I wanted to reverse those two." Would you mind talking about that a little bit, please?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I don't know if many people have heard of the threshold or the tilting point or the tipping point in everybody's lifespan. We all have them. We have more than one of them. It happens when we create behaviours that our soul doesn't like, and our soul responds by giving this the internal unhappiness. We know that we're doing the behaviour, we're breeding a habit that basically is killing us. And I believe that moment in which we're talking about, was a moment for me that stuck with me for a long, long time. I just happened to have a place where I was very aware that I was looking into my eyes, knowing full well that I had to change the whole picture, and I had to change the whole picture from the inside. All the years in which I had created, the death of somebody, I had obviously impacted a family through obviously being in that space where I'd created the death of somebody. I had a self-loathing that I really couldn't shift because I took it on myself and I battered myself daily with that. And that would be something that I would do every day without being conscious of it, because I hated myself. I hated myself for, looking in the mirror and seeing somebody that, had such a negative impact in the world, where I never felt I warranted it. And so the two clashed. And it was almost like, the devil jumping on the shoulder saying, "You created this, you did this and you did that." And then the weaker part, or the weaker good part in my spirit, saying, "No, we can pick this up and carry on. Come on, we can do this, we can get through this." And at times when you're taking drinking drugs and everything else, then of course that devil or that, negative part of you is amplified. Of course, and the depression is amplified, and the moment in which I talk about it is quite simple. It was only as recently as 2005, 2004 over 2005, when I was in Ireland and I was assaulted through, again, at the time, if I'm looking at accountability, I am accountable at an level, but I was hospitalised and I went into a depression in which paralysed me. In which I came home to the place I stayed, and I was in bed for 3 days. I tell this as well, I don't know if I say this in the book, but there was a chap at the door, and I went up to actually answer it, but I went into a state of paralysis at the top of the stairs looking down. And then that's when I knew the depression had actually caught me, and to such an extent where it was almost like I had just came out of my accident again. And so I knew then, at that stage in my life, having been, having been reminded of that state of paralysis, that if I never changed that, if I never actually took an action that was going to change my whole life, then I was going to be not here anymore. And so I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, how much do you want this? And you don't have to speak. It's not about saying things into the back of your head. Or you have to have that silence that I'm talking about, the listening silent. You have to look at and allow a natural answer to come out of you, one that's not thought of through your head. But it's almost like your soul's talking. Because the communication aspect of, you know, the mental torture and everything else stops the soul from coming through. And that's when you have to have that moment of being silent within yourself and just looking for, you know, the power to come through for me to have changed that. And that did that at that time. I then went and took action. I booked myself on a course in Utah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but I think I'll give myself permission. I went to Impact Trainings in Utah, which was a full 3-month personal development course, which teaches people about what's the cloak on the inside, lifting the veil and telling them that they're not their thoughts. They're not their mother and father's thoughts of who they are. It's all about taking the ownership for your uniqueness in life, knowing who you are and why you are here. And those are two questions that human beings have been asking themselves for many a millennium. So when I found out that I knew who I was and I knew why I was here, it then began to bring the true Derek Reed through and what my purpose was. So, yeah, that was a very scary moment in my life. I've got to put my hands up to that, you know.
There was another comment you wrote that said, when you want to really do something, you have passion for – when you want to really do something you have passion for, it feels limitless, like you're meant to do that very purpose. It sounds like that's what you found.
Yeah, I describe this. Let me just take the listeners through to a part in which when I came back from Ireland in 2008, I was ready to basically start delivering courses, but I never knew how. I had never done any public speaking before. I had never, correlated or formulated a course, you know, based on my teachings and on my life experience. I just asked the question, how? Now, the universe knows that if anybody is to be of a... The universe is waiting for people to step up. It's waiting for people to drop the cloak of, their negative selves and stand out and count and be counted in this world. And the only way that you'll ever be counted in this world is by delivering shows like this where people come up and you can present themselves, they can do what their purpose is. But getting to the purpose is a hard thing. So when I actually asked, how do I do it, I got automatically responded by the universe, I believe, by going and speaking to people who would allow me then to get my creative side out. I then sat down, I delivered a course, presented it to a very good college here in my hometown, just recently built. They passed it with flying colours. I didn't know what happened, but the first night when I actually went there to present that course, bearing in mind I had never even spoken, I thought I was being channeled. And that was the only way I said it. There was an inordinate amount of energy coming from me. And I was connected to all these people that I was actually talking with. You see, because I don't teach things. I only facilitate, and that's a difference. Because I supplant questions with people that I've been asked before that work intrinsically within them, you know, throughout the whole duration of that 10-week inner happiness course. And they come out different people. Even at the ages of, you know, a lovely age of 67, all the way down to people who were in their 20s. But as I described, it went from there to a six-hour seminar where I felt turbocharged talking from a two-hour classroom environment to a six-hour seminar. I just felt turbocharged. I felt I was in the zone and the spot. It was just an unbelievable... Jan's just told me something there, lovely. It's just an unbelievable experience when you are privileged to be standing in your purpose. You know you're in your purpose. You're super connected. You're a super communicator. You can express things in a way that goes to people's hearts. And that's why I believe I've been through what I've believed. It has actually been a gift to me. It's because I have all this experience to give everybody in a classroom or a seminar, one-on-one coaching facility, because I can be a super connector, a super communicator, and I get to the heart of people's issues very fast. Because I don't know if you lovely women have ever heard of intimacy as a word, but intimacy is rather than a personal thing, intimacy is a mirror which everybody has in this life. We all have mirrors in this life. And intimacy is into me, you see. So my experience has allowed me to encapsulate somebody's issues in life, know that I can transfer it back to myself, place myself at a spot in which I had that certain issue, and correlate it back out to that person. And then all of a sudden, it builds trust. It allows that person to open up more, gives me more to work with. You know what? That's a miracle in itself to be able to do that. So that's why I say go back to what's the most important in life is that nothing happens without you moving. Take ownership for your life. When you take ownership for your life, everything transcends from there and the picture of life just spreads out beautifully.
Wow. We have a question from a listener. Is there a book tour planned for you to go through Europe and the US maybe? Because you can connect everything so nicely, like talk about the book and your own experiences, your courses, the facilitating. And I could listen to you for hours, you know, this is fun. And it's I love the energy that's coming across because it's a very quiet and a relaxed way, quiet energy that I received from you, Derek, and I'm really grateful for that also because I've had a few busy days here. And when I started preparing for the show, I was just sitting here and I got so calm. And this is what comes across from you. And this calmness needs to be out in the world. That's just me. And we're going into the last 3 minutes of the show. So obviously I invite you and our listeners to chat with us on Facebook and our Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group. And maybe we can go into more detail there with the book, with the tour, hopefully with the upcoming tour, with your courses and where people can find you. Because you said in your hometown, that is somewhere in Scotland. And I'd love to end this from my side with thank you for your accent. I love your accent.
And I would like to go ahead, Derek.
Can you finish, please, Jan? I'd be honored if you finish too, and I can say one word at the end. That would be fantastic.
Well, I just wanted to make an ending comment. So I love listening to your voice. There is that Scottish accent, just pretty amazing stuff, you know. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very aware that and I'm privileged that this is a new experience for me too. So I get to say thank you very much from my heart to yours and to everybody that's listening to me. There is going to be a tour. I am going to be standing, you know, speaking with people about life and, you know, getting my message out there, getting super connected, getting motivated about other people and getting their lives shifted to a greater learning experience and a state of love. And thank you very much for, you know, me coming onto the show. Thanks very much.
It has been really a pleasure to have you here, Derek. It's really been a delight. And thank you for sharing all of your story. Well, not all of your story, obviously. You've got a lot more to share with us. So today, our ending comment is another comment from the book from Derek. From Coma to Combat. And remember to check out the bonus on his page. And I believe the link has been posted in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page. So the comment is, no matter what you do or what kind of state you may feel you are in, you have a choice to change that, which fits right in with our affirmations. I have a choice always. I give myself permission to know that I have a choice always. And for today, we wish you soul blessings and we look forward to being with you again next week. And we'll talk to you in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group.
Thank you all so much. Thank you, Derek, for being with us and soul blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.